Smith Show. Check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Since the most recent school shooting, I've had a lot of people asking, you know, why aren't we spending more on security in schools? A couple of people tweeting, you know, why don't we have metal detectors at every door? Other people saying, you know, why don't we have more paid security people online? Why aren't there more security measures? And honestly, the best response I got back was someone tweeted back to me, you know, paid security at schools. Really? We can't even fund expletive pencils and supplies. And truth of the matter is, every teacher I talk to, it's the same story. They're pulling out of their own pocket to buy, you know, glue sticks and pencils and paper and things that every classroom should have the barest of necessities. So, you know, having extra school security, while something we should be doing, we should be funding education at a better level. And here to talk a little bit about the special education front, because here again, one of those areas that gets pushed to the side. I've asked Deanne Best to come talk with us. She's a special education teacher out in Oregon. Also does a radio program on a station out there as well. So fellow radio host Deanne, thanks for taking time for us.
Hi, glad to be with you.
So walk me through this. I see all of these stories. I see all of these studies. Education's, the funding is just not there. And especially in the special ed world, how bad is it?
Oh, my gosh. It's crazy bad. You know, I worked really hard on, and I don't want to bore anybody with politics, but that's what it's all about these days. So I worked really hard on the ballot measure 97 in 2016 when other disastrous political events were happening. But we actually voted it down. We voted it down. It was going to bring $3 billion to Oregon schools. And the preface was that we would tax large corporations. We're talking Walmart, Comcast, large corporations. We'd tax them 2.5% after they've made their first $250,000 in sales. And that would generate $3 billion for Oregon students. Keep in mind that Oregon has the lowest corporate tax rates in the country. We, at the time, we had the third highest class size in the country, and we still have one of the shortest school years in the country. And, we have more kids than we do desks. We don't, you know, kids don't even have a place to sit in some classes. So anyway, teachers worked really hard to get this measure on the ballot, and we go door to door talking to people, and everybody signs. Of course, schools need more money, but in the end, the measure failed.
And why did it fail?
Why did it fail? It failed because of ads that provided non-information. Ads for
lots of funding against it, right?
Yes. You know what teachers could do. You know, we had the money to put on our shoes and knock door to door.
Right.
But the large corporations had money to put on prime time commercials saying, oh, this is going to be bad for America, or it's going to be bad for Oregon. We'll have to raise our prices. We'll have to we'll have to lay off people. It'll be bad, bad, bad. And so they use these scare tactics, and that's why.
It's interesting because you hear this story replicated all across the country where, you know, you talk to the average everyday person, they want their schools to be better funded. They want their schools to have, all of the paper, pencils, security, all of the things that they should have. But, you know, the fear that the moneyed interests put into people of, hey, well, you raise our taxes, we're leaving if you do this.
Right.
And at some point, don't we have to be the ones who say, you know what? Across this
country,
we're going to hold you accountable and stop this kind of beggar thy neighbor economic development and stop this safe haven kind of thought process.
Right. And it just astounds me that happened. But I watched it happen and I deeply felt it happen. And what was interesting to me is when I would go door to door, I would meet families who recently moved in from out of state. And they said, yeah, we had no idea that there was this funding problem in Oregon. Most of the people that I talked to that just recently moved from out of state from a different state, they are actually homeschooling their kids because that's what's best for their kids. And Oregon has really hardworking teachers and we're upstanding citizens and we're working. Well, I'm in my classroom right now, but I'm talking on my private phone. I'm not using school district property to make this happen. But it just amazed me how seriously underfunded we were. In fact, I just got a letter from Kathleen. She's a third grade teacher a special education teacher in Hillsboro. And she says, I moved to Oregon from Illinois last year, having worked the same job in two states. My lenses are crystal clear. Despite Illinois' growing deficit, the state still manages to make mental health in schools a priority. Now, she goes on to explain that when she's trying to teach students in her classroom and there's a child running down the hall screaming profanities and tearing things off the wall, seeking sensory input, she just closes her door and turns on soft music. Her students are numb from these behaviors that they witness on a daily basis.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so it's like, who can learn in these environments? So when you're talking about the amount of money that teachers spend on our own curriculum, it's not just a little bit of money, it's thousands of dollars a year. Last year, I thought, this is ridiculous. We know better. Kids need to stand up. No one should be sitting for 6 hours a day, and not that we do. You know, we move around, have carpet time, PE, and that kind of stuff. But I was the one that ended up buying, you know, the stand-up desks. And they're expensive. They're a couple hundred dollars a whack. But I thought, this is silly. I can't buy every child a desk. But
yeah, that's crazy. So is it that the state just doesn't have the money, or is it that it's poorly allocated? I look here in Pennsylvania, and we spend a lot of money on education, and I would argue we waste a ton of it on charter schools and on cyber charter and all of these gimmicks. Because, you know, here, I don't know how it is in Oregon, but here in Pennsylvania, you flip on the radio, you flip on television, you go to the hockey game, you see anywhere, you see all of these advertisements for all of these different charter gimmicks. And those are all taxpayer dollars money promoting these charter schemes. How's Oregon on that front?
You know, Oregon is a little bit luckier in that we have some, it's interesting that we have some great public charter schools, but I am skeptical and not saying, yay, go charter schools. We have a few in the district that I work in, and it's okay. But these people that you're talking about, I worry so much for it, because what happens when they aren't making enough money anymore, and then those charter schools disappear? Where are those kids going to go back to? Because it's depleting your public school system, right?
Exactly. Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah, look at Philadelphia.
Yeah. And then, you know, people are going to end up having to pay for private schools, and who's going to be able to afford that?
No, they don't pay for private schools, because we've only done this really in high poverty areas. In minority areas where there aren't the resources for private school, you just lose out on an education, and congratulations.
Right.
Your future is cell number whatever. That whole, you know, school-to-prison pipeline is a real thing, especially when you're talking about really urban and poverty-ridden areas.
Yeah, and see, what I did is I kind of jumped ahead in my negativity thing that I just see this happening. So there's all these trial charter schools going on, especially on the East Coast, I think, or it's more prevalent over there than it is in Oregon so far. But those aren't going to last, and they're not adequate for the average person, certainly not adequate for the kids that I work with in the special ed field. And what's going to happen when those finally hit the dust? And I don't know that it's going to take that long. Public schools are going to be shut down, or, you know, they're going to be reduced to rubble, and then that's when, I guess, the private schools will mop up. We have a lot of private schools coming up in Oregon. And
so let me ask you the question on that, because, you know,
yes.
I've said the charter movement right now is the gateway to all private education. To where if you have the resources or the connections, your kid is going to get a very good education. If you don't fit into the mold, if you don't belong to the right church or, you know, whatever, your kid's not going to have an opportunity, because that public school is just going to be, as you've said, it's just going to be rubble. It's going to be where we warehouse the kids who couldn't get into these other places. And that's one of my great fears. So to hear that Oregon has a lot of private schools, it kind of leads me down that path of great concern.
Yeah, because their longevity is unknown. It's like it's like a trial and error thing. And yes, there are some good private schools, but public school system started out with a pretty strong foundation and just wanting to take care of kids and having leveling the playing field for everybody so everyone can have an adequate education. And I just worry for my special needs students and certainly even just the middle class. How that's going to affect the middle class in the future is just frightening for me. Right. And I don't think it's a too far off future.
No, I'm with you. But let me ask you this other question, because I've had yeah. some of my charter advocate folks say that, you know, the whole idea of moving into a charter situation is kind of to get away from the special ed situation. You know, you said at the beginning there's a kid running down the hallway screaming profanity, ripping things off the wall.
Yes.
There are a
yes.
lot of parents who say that kid shouldn't even be in school, let alone in a school with my kids. How do you respond to that?
Well, I'll tell you, this is because I have a very lengthy answer to that, because I used to work in a mental institution and it was called Fairview Training Center here in Oregon. And when Reagan was, you know, Reaganomics shut down the mental health or the mental institutions. And yes, there were some bad things that were going on, but you were talking at that point about pretty underfunded programs.
Right.
And so now that parents and families don't have other kinds of resources, they're left with this one this one resource, this public education entity. And so that is a result of bad politics to start with. That's how we got to this place.
Yeah, bad politics.
Instead of beefing up the mental health field and instead of providing more mental health services, they just looked at the mental institution and said, well, this is horrible and it's expensive and taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for it.
And it's much cheaper just to lock them up and throw them in jail, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I'll tell you what, the people, I was a recreation therapist there, and the people I worked with died within just a span of a few years, not because they were old, not because they were ill, but because they did not get what they needed. So not only were some of them victims of crimes or caused crimes and ended up in jail, many of them are dead. And just through the privatization that happened, you know, people were sent to group homes or halfway houses or whatever you want to call them. And that's exactly what I fear for public education. And these are our children. This is everybody's children that we're talking about.
Yeah. No, I agree.
And so, yes, maybe there should be better schools for special needs students. But I think we're all a community, and we all need to understand the human condition, and we can all get along together. But when their class sizes are so high, you know, right now Oregon has the fifth largest class size in the country, and it really puts people against each other. And so, yeah, we're parents are against parents because, oh, this shouldn't happen. But what if there's only 10 kids in a class or 15 kids in a class and five teachers? Or, you know, think of the world that we know children should have an opportunity to learn in. It's not that that child should not be in a school. Maybe the school needs to be redesigned and well-funded.
Yeah,
it's
I
all
agree with
a matter
the,
of funding.
Sure. But what do you say to the person then who goes, well, you know, I went to school and we had 100 kids in one class and we had one pencil and we all used it. You've heard all of the things. What do you say to those folks?
Yeah. Well, yeah, the history that never was. But I'll tell you what, at that point, I don't know how many classmates that person had that were crack babies, you know, that were born addicted to methamphetamines or born addicted to heroin. So there's just a lot more going on. And then also back in those days, there would have been different options for people. And I'm not saying that mental health institutions were perfect. I'm not. But at least there was an option for some people.
Because I've got my charter school advocates who, a couple of them who've said that the charter movement was really was a response to mainstreaming. And, you know, I think there's some truth to that.
No. Really? That's
Look, I know people who I don't want that kid around my kid. You hear this quite often. You know, I want my kid to get in with the better kids. And you hear this stuff all the time. And I'll be honest, you know, I remember back when I was in college, when this was first starting, there was a big pushback to it. And as I remember, you know, part of this, you know, I understand that charters came from Albert Shanker and the idea of best practices and all that stuff, but it really took on, I would argue, to those people who were pushing for to get away from the public schools and the mainstreaming parts.
I see. Well, I guess when you look at it,
you
that
can disagree
lives,
if you think I'm wrong. I want to be right. on the right side, so let right. me know if you think
well,
I'm wrong.
Well, right now I see charter schools and private schools sucking away money from public schools that
right.
need more money, not less money.
I agree.
More of the middle ground learner types of parts of the population, not less of those. So I think if we want a well-rounded community, our school population should look like our community looks like.
Gotcha. So last question I've got for you. You know, how do we get to this place that you're talking about? How do we get to where we're funding education properly, where all kids have an opportunity to get the best mm-hmm. quality opportunity mm-hmm. of education they can get? How do we get there?
We listen to the teachers, and we listen to the professionals, and we do what they say. This big money-making business of statewide assessments, that is not helpful. It takes away our time. It takes away our money. It stresses our students out, and it has nothing to do with children and good education. Teachers have been testing kids for years, and we don't need to pay some outside large corporation X amount of dollars just to, satisfy some political need. That is wrong.
And feed the bottom line. You're absolutely right. Teachers, I remember teachers running the tests off on the mimeograph machine. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a corporation who was mm-hmm. prioritizing or proprietizing 2+2. They just didn't do it. But
right.
Deanne, I appreciate the time, the thoughts, good stuff. I hope you continue fighting out there, and as we all will. Thanks so much.
Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks so much, Deanne Bass. Let's take a quick break. Right back. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
You're listening to The Rick Smith Show.